What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, February 1st, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the busiest lady in the business, Andrew Renee.
What's good, Greg?
Monster Hunter.
That's right.
You like it?
I've been up late the last couple of nights trying to catch up on PS4. On Tuesday, we talked about how I made the fatal error.
Don't listen to Brittany Baumrocker. It's been known for years.
I'm caught up. I'm in the wastes now, so I'm in the second area.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go. I'm ready to team up with people and take down some monsters.
You, me, Kevin, and Gangster herself. Jen, we'll get out there. We'll do this.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, I still am not quite confident I know how the online system works.
Oh, boy, is it easy.
It's easy once you figure it out.
No, it's not. That was me being sarcastic.
You're being facetious.
There's pieces of it that are easy. It's just when you want to do the story mission and it gives you the wrong information on why you can't do the story mission.
Yeah, because
you have to like watch the cutscenes separately, right?
Yeah, that's dumb. So you have to off to go in there, you see the monster, the cutscene plays, then one of you quits and joins on the other person.
Yeah, that's
a dumb way to do it.
It is.
Very, very, very dumb.
It's weird.
But
maybe
it's
they'll
fun.
Patch it. I don't know.
Yeah, who cares? By then we'll be way past it.
Yeah,
we'll all
right?
be out there just doing, you know, the optional quests and getting everything. I'm sick of seeing Grimecraft's cool armor. I got to get it.
His armor's so cool.
What kind of armor does he have?
Oh my God,
he's changing it. Every time you look at him, he looks better. He looks more and more crazy. He had the giant cat head for a while. I was very stoked about that. All I want to do is I got to get to Hunter rank 6, which isn't that high, but I got to get there and get the Horizon stuff before that goes away next week.
Oh, it goes away next week?
Yeah, Shuhei tweeted out. I think he said the 6th is when it goes away.
Why? The game just launched.
Because they want you to buy it. Fucking buy it, Andrew Renee. Get out there and buy it.
That's ridiculous.
Hey, just,
they should slow it down. It is. I did read. I want to give a shout out. Oh, that is a really badass.
Yeah, show it to
armor.
The YouTube video. That's Grimecraft right there. Do you think it is? Show the cat head too. He had on. If you got that in there,
he's got the same. It looks like he's got the same legs. The gauntlets on. No, the legs on that I have on.
Oh, okay.
The Vespoid, I think I have on. Because I've just been doing a bunch of investigations. Have you done any of these yet?
A few of them,
It's a good way to grind, get some materials.
What Kevin and I do is we try to play the story stuff, and then we'll go back. Like, you know, we were out of sync, so I was going back and helping him with his stuff, so then we're just all over the place.
Yeah.
And now he's getting ahead of me, so.
I do want to give, for people like me who are new to Monster Hunter and having trouble kind of understanding all of the systems, GamesRadar did a really nice write-up about, if you're a Destiny player, let me explain Monster Hunter in terms of Destiny so it might be easier for you to understand.
All right.
So I was reading through some of their guides, and they were well done.
Huh. All right. Oh, here we go. This is the cat head that Grimey has.
Oh, my gosh. That's sad. Amazing.
I don't know why he'd ever change that. That looks amazing. That looks awesome.
Look at his calico's helmet.
Yeah.
So I got some guild cards from a couple people that were in my online session last night, and their armor is outrageously awesome. And I was like, where did you get that?
Kevin
and
I are playing.
They're like level 25 or
Kevin
something.
Kevin and I are
already.
Playing every night, and I feel like I'm just making no real progress. I'm having a great time, but I'm just not. I need to sit there for a weekend.
And especially like if you're like me and you've been playing solo the whole time, like if you have trouble, because the monsters when you're solo are just such bullet sponges. Mm-hmm. That like if you don't get them or you faint or whatever, you have to go back and do it again. It's like you feel like you're making no progress whatsoever.
But what a ride!
Yeah, Monster
If you didn't
Hunter.
Know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we come to you with the nerdy video game news you need to know about. Once we give you that, we jump into your questions, comments, and concerns, bad PSN names, and so much more. You need to be part of the show. Go to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Submit whatever you want. Get on the show. Have a good time. Then you can watch it as we record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Of course, if you're watching live, you have a job. You need to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listening later on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. Today we're brought to you by MeUndies and Pro Flowers, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. What's that all about? What's your excuse this time? Four items on the Roper Report.
Oh, come on,
he's
Kevin.
Just, you know what I mean?
I was just complimenting you on how you have such great energy.
But I was seeing the comments on the Reddit thread or something the other day where people are like, they like that he keeps it up. He switches it up.
That's
you never know what he's going
to
be.
I got to change it up. I was really excited. I had a lot of energy that I had to pin down.
He's got to pin that energy down. I can't burn it too early. There's a beeping outside. We don't think it's a... Oh,
Greg.
It's Kevin's phone. Oh, my God.
Greg, I got more lives.
Did you see my tweet earlier today?
No.
We're in here recording this video at like 9 a.m. We did the first take. The video, his phone starts beeping. And I go, what is that, an alarm? He's like, that's an alarm. I'm like, okay, is it that you have to start setting up for Kind of Funny Morning Show? And he's like, oh no, it's that I need to play Disney Emoji Blitz. Because the lives unlock after a certain amount of time or whatever. And so there it is again.
You have an alarm set up for when your timer is up?
Look, there's an event happening right now.
Okay.
And there's literally like 10 hours left. And I'm so close. Actually, I mean, not to brag, but I just finished it. I finished the event. I got really excited.
Congratulations,
Kevin. We can't throw stones from our glass house. No. And all the stupid things we've done
I'm not mad, but maybe don't have an audible alarm when we're recording a show, Kevin. Just a thought.
We weren't recording a show when the recording had just ended.
First item on the Roper Report, Red Dead Redemption 2 has been delayed, but given a new release date. Rockstar put out this letter. Dear all, we are excited to announce that Red Dead Redemption 2 will be released on October 26, 2018. We apologize to everyone disappointed by this delay. While we had hoped to have the game out sooner, we require a little extra time for polish. We sincerely thank you for your patience and hope that when you get to play the game, you will agree the wait will have been worth it. In the meantime, please check out these screenshots from the game. We look forward to sharing a lot more information with you in the coming weeks. With thanks, Rockstar Games. Womp, womp, womp. Do you care?
I mean, I'm not sad about this because they never gave a hard and fast release date.
Right? That's what we were playing with earlier.
Yeah, so it's just a couple of months. Like, I think this would have been like a sad trombone moment if they delayed to 2019.
Sure. Now the question is, do you think that's still possible?
No, I don't think so.
That's on the table possible. They're Rockstar.
No, I don't think so.
They're perfectionists.
I know they are, but they gave a firm date.
Uh-huh.
I don't think they're going to delay again.
I'm just saying it's possible. Yeah,
I think they're fine.
When it went out, like I saw this morning and retweeted, I was like, yeah, great. And it was like the PS2 anniversary, which is what I always think of for October 26th, North American release date, 2000, never forget, 1201 in line at Meijer, number one person there. But I was like, oh yeah, great. And some kids are like, why are you excited for a delay? And it's like, because 2018 is already stacked with amazing fucking video games. Like I think on all the other shows, you know, go ahead and kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. I feel like whenever we talk about this on Gamescast as a spring thing, I'm like, I could easily see this slipping. Like it doesn't strike me as something that I was super locked into. Where the fuck is Spider-Man? That's where I'm at. Where the fuck is Spider-Man?
Don't know. Apparently it's done.
This Brian guy over there. They just want to keep cashing Marvel checks. I should probably write into somebody at Marvel and let them know they're getting shanghaied, as they say. You can probably still say that, right? Shanghaied, is that a thing you say?
I've never heard that term.
No way, really? Kevin, give me a Minority Report on if I'm like, no, don't, like, I actually look at a computer. Is saying something, you got shanghaied?
It's fine.
Is that fine?
No, I guarantee you no one knows what
Have you ever heard of it before?
Oh, I know what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, now that I say it in 2018, you're like, that doesn't sound like something you're saying. I always think this name should be Sharon, but maybe it is Sharan.
Why?
I moved the, like, I paste in from the Google Doc I get with all the questions at kindoffunny.com/KFGD. So sometimes the line breaks are weird. Mm-hmm. Like, next one is Lokinan, but it's like, anyways, that's mad. Sharan writes in and says, hi. With the news that Red Dead Redemption is coming out October 26th, I noticed the release date is a Friday as well. This falls on a Friday. Other games such as God of War also have Friday release dates, which got me thinking, is Friday the new date when games drop? Andrea, games have been coming out on Tuesdays for as long as we've ever known games coming out.
A lot of media has always traditionally been Tuesday, like new album releases, new books, things like that on Tuesday. But we've been seeing Friday release dates for video games for the last couple of years. It's becoming a lot more common. Even some major franchises like Call of Duty, for example, coming out on a Friday.
And that's always the thing, right? It's always a major franchise. It's always a major video game. I think it's those tentpole event AAA games that shoot for a Friday. I like it.
I do too, because it then gives you the weekend to play with all your friends.
I've always thought, I'm not saying we need as an industry move away from Tuesdays, but video games tackling Fridays and mimicking movie structure, I think makes more sense in the way that, especially now that these are blockbuster releases similar to a blockbuster film, it is that, yeah, all right, cool. You get to go home from work and you have a new game and you get 2.5 days to play through it and not have to worry about going to school, going to work, your real responsibilities.
I agree.
I don't think you're seeing everybody move to it.
I mean, not yet anyway. I mean, Tuesday is still a very popular day.
Of course. Yeah. Sound like Rocco's Modern Life. Kevin, did we get anything on Shanghai?
Yes, I got it right here.
Andrea, what do you got for me?
So the term dates back to the 1800s and the age of sailing ships, when ships needed crews, but working conditions were so bad that crews were often obtained by trickery, bribery, force, and outright kidnapping. Sometimes a man would be offered drinks until he passed out and then would awaken on board and underway.
If I had a nickel.
I mean, so basically, it means.
No, why is it offensive? Can you say that?
That's the thing. How do you find out if
Google is Shanghai is saying you got Shanghai offensive?
To Shanghai someone is to kidnap or trick them into working for you. The traditional way to Shanghai someone is to drug him and put him on a ship.
Okay.
The Shanghai person would wake up and find himself at sea, often on a long trip, like to Shanghai, China.
Okay, so no, not offensive. Greg's made his decision. Thank you. I'm going to Shanghai all of you into saying Shanghai now.
You got to stop.
This is the word of the day, everyone. I don't care. Everybody call your customer service reps at your cell phone places and you just yell at them, I'm being Shanghai. See what happens.
I don't read the chat often to you, but yeah. Mr. Yasman 300 says, how old is Greg?
Lo Keenan wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, with the announcement of Red Dead Redemption 2 coming on October 26th, do you think that day could be the next big day for fall releases? Sort of like how October 27th of 2017 was huge with the release of Mario Odyssey, Wolfenstein, and Assassin's Creed. Or do you think Red Dead is such a powerhouse that people will avoid releasing on that day? Love the show. Keep up the good work. Lo Keenan.
Red Dead is a powerhouse that people will avoid it if they can, if they already have like certain PR plans in place or ad spends already locked up, then maybe not. For some reason, we always get press releases for these small indie games who just...
We're going to go up against them.
Maybe they just don't realize what they're doing, or they're like, ah, we'll be fine. And I'm like, why are you doing this to yourself? You're setting yourself up for failure. Of course, there will be other games that come out that day without failure. But I mean, I think most savvy marketing people want to avoid, you know, launching that same day if at all possible.
100%. I mean, like, don't get me wrong, last year was huge. Mario Odyssey, Wolfenstein, Assassin's Creed, but all of those are different things. Mario is Mario and is going to sell extremely well, obviously, as we talked about yesterday. But the fact of the matter was the Switch install base wasn't so dramatic that you had to worry about 70 million people trying to get that
right
game. Whereas now that you are with PlayStation 4, Xbox One, there's so many of those out there.
Absolutely.
Red Dead's a juggernaut on another scale, whereas Wolfenstein, you know, didn't do as well as people wanted to at launch, and I know it's made up some ground here and there. Assassin's Creed had taken a year off and came out, but again, it was a wait-and-see thing. No one's waiting and seeing on Red Dead. I think you're going to see tons of people today, and that date's out, and they're like, fuck, all right. It might even be moving out of that week. Get away from that date on both sides, because again, it's a Friday release, so it's rare, but on top of that, just get away as far away as possible.
And I think that Red Dead has such a positive wave of influence out already that I would be confident that we could not see a single gameplay demo from this game between now and launch, and it still would sell 10 million copies.
Which I would love them to do, but they won't.
Day.
They won't, but I wish they would.
Yeah.
We're still going to get more stuff and more videos and everything.
Well, I mean,
else.
Of course, we want to see more.
I don't.
You know?
I don't.
You don't?
This was always my thing.
I do.
My thing with GTA 5, which I really wanted them to, would have, if I was there and I was spitballing PR plans with my no PR degree, business degree, I would be like, hey, you know what I would do? We just release one video, it's a black screen, and then the logo fades up while, like, there's dialogue from who would be, you know, go on to be Trevor and Michael and all these, and tell, and it, nothing. Because I think that game, GTA 5, would have sold exactly the same and maybe even gotten into more things, more magazines of like, Rockstar is doing the weirdest thing anyone's ever seen in video games, and they're crazy enough to do it. This franchise is big enough and crazy enough to do it. I don't think Red Dead's the exact same. I think Red Dead, you do need to show things. It's only Red Dead Redemption 2. You know, it's technically a third, but it's the second in like what this version of Red Dead is. I think you need to show that and do it. But a GTA that was just like, hey, like radio silence ends and they flip a switch and like, hey, GTA is going to be out in a month. Here's the logo. We'll see you on that day. That's all we say. Fucking hell.
I think they could get away with that now, having built up this amazing reputation with GTA 5 and more importantly GTA Online.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't think they had that same kind of goodwill coming off of GTA 4.
Really? 5 made a billion. Well, I see what you're saying. Okay, that's an interesting counter. I was going to say 5 made $1 billion or whatever in 24 hours, but it made $1 billion in 24 hours after showing you so much of the game and how it had changed, and it wasn't the morose story of Nico and his cousin Roman.
Nico.
Cousin. Number 2, Andrea,
Yes.
If you were wearing a hat, I'd tell you to hold on to it. We have Dota news to talk about on this show.
Oh, what?
Dota 2 is getting is changing the way it does patches. This is via the head dev on Twitter over there. Ice Frog wrote, We want to try taking a different approach to how gameplay patches are released. Instead of big patches a couple of times a year, we'll be releasing small patches every 2 weeks on Thursdays. Big old train coming by. That's not going to hit you, everybody. Don't worry. We'll be trying this out for about 6 months and then reevaluating. To make it easier to keep track of changes, we'll also be releasing a new in-game feature to notify you of any recent changes to heroes in your match. Of course, this was interesting, a change to a game that's a juggernaut as big as Dota 2, even though you and I aren't in that ecosystem. I'm going to kick it over to Kotaku to give you a little bit of insight if you don't understand, like I don't. Major changes usually come in larger dumps right after big tournaments have concluded, giving everyone a chance to adapt to what amounts to a new version of the game prior to the next competition. With this new schedule in place, all that could change. We'll have to see what's in the game's first patch under this new approach to get a better idea of how things will shake out going forward. Just interesting. Hey, everybody. We have... Cool. What's interesting to me about it is... I heard that. I'm like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, update. You know, you have this rabid fan base. They want to play the game as much as possible. They want, you know, these fixes quick and dirty. I never took into account that if you're in a competition, right, it's going to really fuck up your game if 2, 4, or 4 weeks out, I guess, they change something drastic to who you play or how you play. We'll see. Number three. Kevin, you hold on to your hat. I got a Nintendo Rock Block for sexy people. I just called it that because there's like a million little Nintendo stories.
There's a lot of Nintendo stories, yeah.
Let's start with this one. Over on Twitter, Nintendo tweeted, hashtag Nintendo Switch Online will launch in September 2018.
What?
A little bit later than anticipated.
Yes, and that we're going to get to why that's interesting in a second. Here's a Kotaku refresher for you. The service originally supposed to launch last year will cost $20 a year, which will allow users to play Switch games online. They are only free until the service launches. Subscribers will also get access to classic Nintendo games like Super Mario Bros. 3, Balloon Fight, and Dr. Mario. There will also be short-term subscription offers like 1 month for $4 or 3 months for $8. Now... let's put on our conspiracy hats, our thinking caps, everything else you want to do, all right?
Okay.
September.
Got it.
Interesting. Why would it be September? The five-star man writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGDN says, hey, Kinda Funny crew, I'm curious if you think the announcement of Nintendo's online service launching in September at all affects our chances of getting some sort of Smash Brothers announcement to coincide with the service's release. If Smash was coming, do you think they would have announced them simultaneously, or... will it get its own direct style announcement? Can someone please check Tim's hypometer for a reading? Thanks for everything you do. Keep up the great work. Kevin, go fetch me Tim Geddes for a hypometer check-in.
I think he just left.
Okay, then fuck him.
I'll go check.
Do you think this is tied into a bigger announcement?
I don't think it's going to be tied into a bigger announcement. I think if they're going to announce Smash, they would make it its own direct. Mm-hmm. I do think, though, if we're going full conspiracy theory here, sure. Smash is a good guess. However, I like to postulate that potentially they have Pokemon coming with multiplayer.
That's what Wesley from Philly wrote in about, too. He was saying maybe it's going to be Pokemon, maybe it's going to be Smash. It was interesting. Before Red Dead happened this morning, this happened yesterday afternoon. I was like, oh, wow, that's weird to just shoot out that release date for what's going on when your Switch Online service is going to go. And I didn't think much of it because then a whole bunch of other news happened. But when we started getting these things, I was like, oh, right, like... if I'm launching an online service, I'm going to need to launch something alongside it, right? Mm-hmm. To make you actually want to go buy into this thing, especially if you've been playing Splatoon and you've been playing Mario Kart. If you've been playing all the online experiences that already exist, it's going to be a harder sell, I would think, then. Okay, I've gotten months, if not a year, out of these games already. They're online components. Maybe I'm not even playing that much online anymore. Is it really going to motivate me to plunk down $20 now to play a few races here and there with my friends?
Well, I think the important thing to remember here is the subscription games that are going to be included. Mm-hmm. So essentially, like a little taste of what Virtual Console could potentially be, this idea that you get access to specific games in the Nintendo library as part of your subscription. I think that is also a draw for a lot of people. And it's a pretty cheap service. I mean, $20 a year compared to, you know, what PlayStation and Xbox charge. Yeah, so, yeah. But obviously what they're offering, I doubt is going to be as robust as Xbox Live or PlayStation Network. So
I want to believe a Smash will be there. I know it won't, but I want to believe you.
Yeah, I mean, like, it makes sense of all the games that, you know, that really have the potential to be huge in an online multiplayer. Smash is a great one. So I would like to see that as well. Okay. I just don't know if 2018 is the year. Feels kind of like maybe 2019 might be a new Smash.
Yeah, I just want a Smash. I'm sick of not playing Smash because it's trapped on the Wii U. Kevin, am I right?
Yep.
Kevin and Tim left, huh?
Yeah, he did.
Hey, what an idiot, you know?
I went to get lunch.
He knows that there's a chance I might need him for every show. Monster.
How dare he?
Andrea, you added Nintendo Garage
via
Polygon. I've read nothing about it. Tell me about it.
So this happened at a press event that's going on in New York. I'm not sure if they're doing one here on the West Coast. So over on Polygon, they wrote up, the Nintendo showed off the included Toy-Con Garage feature coming with the Nintendo Labo, available from the software's main menu at a closed doors New York press event today. It's the most surprisingly complex feature of the Labo software. The Garage starts out with an empty black screen. Players slowly add to it by connecting different actions and subsequent reactions of their choice and mapping them to existing Toy-Con projects, which are then controlled using the Toy-Con Garage's feature screen. Here's an example. Let's say that you've built the motorbike handlebars and the RC car, two of the Toy-Cons that arrive with the Nintendo Labo Variety Kit. You can take the motorbike's standard acceleration function, mapped by default to clicking in the right handlebar, and remap it to the RC car's acceleration. What you get is an RC Toy-Con that can be driven with the handlebar Toy-Con.
My God, it's Little Big Planet.
The Toy-Con Garage is one of those things that will come together better in practice, but what we saw in person was impressive. The Toy-Con Garage teaches programming on the most basic fundamental level, especially because players can invent completely original Toy-Cons with it. With the Toy-Con Garage, it doesn't matter if you're bored of the five default toys in the variety kit. You can design your own toys with the cardboard lying around the house, and the options seem shockingly expansive. The guitar could make traditional music notes, but users could also program it. I must have left a line out about where they made a guitar. Could make traditional music notes, but users could also program it to meow like a cat, depending on which on-screen strings you strum. Nintendo showed off this guitar that was built out of regular household pieces of cardboard, custom designed by the user. As the company rep and makeshift guitarist walked around, he showed off how quickly you can switch up the guitar's capabilities on the Toy-Con Garage screen. It's the most DIY part of an incredibly DIY-focused Labo line. So I think that this is really fascinating. A nice twist on the offering that they showcased when they made the announcement.
Totally. Giving you more of a reason to why you'd want this and what you can do with it.
Absolutely. And really kind of putting it out there to the creativity of people who want to take it the next step. And clearly there's going to be tons of people out there that just want the variety box as it is and just want to use it for how Nintendo has designed it. But we've seen through UGC content in places like Minecraft, for example, just how wild people's how imaginations crazy people get, can go.
And that's what's great about this being something aimed at kids, that it is. All right, cool. You already understand Minecraft or whatever creation tool you've used before. Now you get to actually create in a three-dimensional space, right, and put it in there and figure out how you want to move it. And this will finally give us the chance to animate our pizza boxes, which I'm stoked about.
Yes.
Cardboard line around the house, Kevin. We can do whatever we want.
So I was unclear as to whether or not this is a separate piece of software to the variety kit or to the robot kit, or if it's included, the Toy-Con Garage, that is.
From what you read, I think it's included.
In the variety kit.
Nintendo showed off the included Toy-Con Garage feature, right? I would think that's included with whatever variety pack they were showing or whatever. Because that's you think whatever you want to buy, you want them to have this ability.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll sell that separately since it features the ability to, you know, kind of create your own peripherals. If you can buy, if they'll allow a standalone option.
Well, it sounds
just to
like
buy the software.
Well, here's my hypothesis based on what I heard for the first time here. I think it's included in whatever variety pack you buy or whatever you buy, and it's like it says it starts off black, an empty black screen, right? So then you slowly add by connecting different actions and subsequent reactions of their choice to the existing Toy-Con. I feel like it's almost like tapping your amiibos in.
Cool. Oh, okay.
I've bought
that makes
this.
Sense.
I buy the first kit. Oh, there's this thing. Oh, I can build whatever I want. But if I want the piano, which is in the kit I didn't buy, now I'm motivated to go buy the piano to come in to tap it in to have it in my garage.
Right. Like I can't make the guitar without first connecting the piano.
100%.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. It's another great way to keep getting your money. But I'll keep you coming back to this Nintendo Labo.
Yeah.
Which I was applauded yesterday by Tim Geddes for the headline on that episode, Nintendo Labo Gabbo. Because we gabbed about Nintendo Lambo. He actually hated it. Doesn't matter. Next part of the Nintendo Sexy Rock Block, Mario Kart's coming to mobile. Another tweet from Nintendo read, "The checkered flag has been raised and the finish line is near. A new mobile application is now in development. Mario Kart Tour. Hashtag Mario Kart Tour releasing in the fiscal year ending March 2019. David Scott wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "What's good, Greg and Andrea? After Mario Kart Tours, and it's just Tour, let's not make this a Games Pass, Game Pass thing. Mario Kart Tour got announced last night. I can think only one thing. No! Not because it's a Mario Kart game, but because it's not a Mario Kart game on the Switch. I loved Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, but I played hundreds of hours of the game on the Wii U, and I was hoping 2018 would bring us a new Switch Mario Kart game. That being said, what are your guys' thoughts on yet another Nintendo mobile game using our favorite mustached man, not plumber? Also, shout out to Kevin for the descriptions on the podcast. I always used to have to re-listen to the end of the show to see who's the co-host, but now he includes in the description like a nice little rosy-cheeked boy. Keep up the great work. Yeah, it does. Kind of funny family. David Scott, a.k.a. Demon Waffle." I hear you. This is what Tim was throwing around today when he got here. You were not getting another Mario Kart this year.
No, no way.
Mario Kart 8 Deluxe was awesome. It is awesome.
It's still selling. I still love playing it. Yeah, definitely. 2018 is too early for sure. What's happening?
Kevin's building the podcast behind us already. Yeah, you weren't getting it this year, and you're still going to get another. I would think you're going to get another Switch Mario Kart. Maybe. What do you think? Am I wrong on that?
I would say not for
A while.
You mean like a Mario Kart 9?
Yeah.
Probably not for at least another year or two.
Oh, no. But I'm saying it will happen on Switch.
It would make sense,
I would say it's 2 or 3 or even 4 years out. I think they're going to give it a long time, and I don't think this gets in the way of it. In the same way, I feel like Animal Crossing Pocket Camp muddies the water of like, well, are we getting an Animal Crossing Switch, and when would that come? Because I feel like you want those to breathe because we haven't had a real, quote-unquote, Animal Crossing in a while.
I don't know. I mean, look at what they did with Super Mario Run.
Yeah.
I mean, that, to me, didn't look like anything that they're doing with modern Mario on console.
Sure.
So I don't think that this will get in the way of that, but I just think it's too early considering how well Deluxe has been doing on the Switch. I'm personally not that jazzed about Tour, because I don't love Mario Kart, because it's great. It's one of my favorite franchises, but I just, like, I don't want to play a karting game on my phone.
I am a huge Mario Kart fan, and I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I was talking to Tim about it. I'm guessing I'm either driving with turning my phone or I'm using touch controls, which doesn't sound like it.
Like, you can't get the precision.
So far, like, for me personally, I know a lot of people had when Mario Run got announced, for like, how are you going to do a precision platformer like Mario and make that interesting?
You don't. He doesn't jump. That's how.
Yeah, exactly. This one, for me, is the biggest head scratcher of like, how are you going to make that work? Whereas Animal Crossing, I thought, oh, this worked really well.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see. More on Go For It, Nintendo. See what happens. Guess what? Still 3 more items on the Roper Report Nintendo Rock Block for sexy people. IGN reports Nintendo has officially announced it's partnering with Illumination Entertainment, the studio behind Despicable Me, Minions, and Sing, to develop a movie starring Mario. The film will be co-produced by Nintendo representative director Shigeru Miyamoto and Illumination founder and CEO Chris Meledandri. Universal Pictures and Nintendo are co-financing the project, and Universal Pictures will handle the film's theatrical distribution worldwide.
So we talked about this back in November of last year, how they were working on the deal. I'm glad to see that they finalized it. I'm glad to see that Miyamoto will be working on it. I said that I really enjoyed the Despicable Me franchise. Loved the Minions movie. Never saw Sing. But Illumination puts out good work.
They know what they're doing.
I mean, I know in the comments a lot of people were debating about, like, good. Obviously, they're not Pixar, but, like, Illumination has made millions of dollars on their animated films.
I was
going
to say, somebody threw out a figure that the Minions movie cost some X million to make, and it made X billion or something, and I was like...
Oh yeah, the Minions are a gold mine.
And I'm like, oh no, they're everywhere. I see those guys everywhere.
Yeah. So hopefully, you know, they'll do the franchise justice. Like, with Nintendo being involved, like it says that they are, I think that it'll be good. I am looking forward to an animated Mario movie.
Yeah.
Because I don't care what you guys say. Mario live action is just, he's just kind of a creeper. It's kind of weird.
Oh, you mean if it was mixed up in our world? Or you mean if it was like Bob Hoskins again?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I just don't like live action Mario. Is
you don't like blue collar workers. This is you coming down from your ivory tower.
Excuse me. I'm from a farming family in North Dakota.
You turned your back on them.
Who also are in the military. So don't even at me, Greg Miller.
I won't even at you then.
Fine. Don't even at me.
IGN had another story. Worldwide sales of Super NES Classic Edition have reached 4 million units. So that's cool. Just a heads up on that one. You got yours finally, right? Didn't you? You're all set. Super yes. NES Classic?
Yeah. I got one when it launched.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. You ever use it anymore?
No.
Yeah, it's exactly, in the closet. Right? It was totally that thing of like, awesome, cool. A taste of retro for a night and then away with you.
Yeah.
And then final piece of the Nintendo sexy rock block for sexy people. The creator of the Nintendo Wii, Genyo Takaida, I'm going to have to get that before we get to DICE, will receive a lifetime achievement award at the 21st annual DICE Awards. I'm hosting it along with Jessica Chobot. And I will have that name memorized by then. Because usually I'm pretty good with Japanese names.
You are.
When I get to say them for a while before I come out there. Because it was a pair one day who was trying to teach it to me. I'm just like, mm-hmm. It's like, you take the two letters and it's usually syllables that way. You break it up easily. This one is just like, Genyo. I feel like I'm saying that wrong.
There are plenty of people who we know that can teach you to say this properly.
I think it's just Per Schneider.
Even no, actual Japanese speakers.
Even Shuhei Yoshida doesn't know how to teach me Japanese words. And final story on the Roper Report, number 4. You're getting some Sonic news in March, you maniacs. Again via IGN. This year, South by Southwest will feature a Sonic panel titled Gotta Go Fast, the official Sonic the Hedgehog panel, which will include a, quote, world-exclusive first look at what comes next for the fastest blue hedgehog, end quote, as well as take a look back at Sonic Mania and Sonic Forces. Now, don't hold your breath. Could be a new cartoon, could be a million other things. This is Greg Miller's take on it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're one of them Sonic nerds like Tim Geddes over there, who's going fast somewhere else right now, that's what you got. Andrea,
mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what.
You tell me what.
Sonic, I can't wait to see what this Sonic news is.
Yeah, you
can't?
But
March is so far away. If I wanted to know what games came to the mom and grop digital shops, where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. I thought you were going to leave me hanging there for a second. All right, so it's a Thursday, which means Nintendo just went boof and just fucking rained down games. So if I don't say anything, it's a Switch game. First off, Pokemon Tournament DX Battle Pack Wave 1 DLC came out yesterday. I'm tossing it in here. Yeah. Then, as we continue on with Switch games, unless otherwise noted, Crypt of the Necro Dancer, Nintendo Switch Edition, Night in the Woods, ACA Neo Geo Samurai Showdown 2, 3D Mini Golf, 10 second run returns, Eterno Blade, Frederick 2, Evil Strikes Back, Her Majesty's Spiffing, Island Flight Simulator, Shiftlings Enhanced Edition, Skyforce Reloaded, SteamWorld Dig. Now we're on a 3DS game. Now I know my ABCs too. Back to another 3DS game, Radiant Historia Perfect Chronology. It's a demo version, but it's there for you. Toon War comes to the eShop on Wii U. Battle Chopper comes to the Virtual Console on Wii U. Necromancer comes to Virtual Console on Wii U. And then Restless Spirit comes to PlayStation 4.
And one more I added. Lay it on. XCOM 2 Collection is now available on PC, Mac, and Linux. Available for 50% off until February 3rd. Includes all 4 DLC packs. Resistance Warrior, Anarchy's Children, Alien Hunters, Shen's Last Gift, plus War of the Chosen.
XCOM, great game. New dates for you. Gigantic servers will officially close on July 31st. All heroes have now been made free. Ski Hard, Lorsbrook, 1978 on PC comes out February 9th. Raging Justice comes to Xbox One, PS4, Switch, PC, Mac in 2018 sometime. Total War Saga. Thrones of Britannia comes out April 19th. Surviving Mars comes to PC, Mac, Xbox One, PlayStation 4 on March 15th. The Town of Light Deluxe Edition comes to Nintendo Switch this spring. Zombie MMO Dead Maze launches February 13th on Steam. And Claws of Furry comes out on Switch, Xbox One, and PC this spring. A lot of games, a lot of stuff to talk about today. Are you excited for Claws of Furry?
I don't know what it is.
You can look into it while I get ready for reader mail. Okay. Because first, I have to tell you, it's brought to you by MeUndies and Pro Flowers. You want to look good with your significant other this Valentine's Day, right? Then check out MeUndies Matching Pairs, a unique, fun gift for you and your Valentine. They're the perfect balance of comfortable fit and exciting prints. Don't spend another Valentine's Day giving the same old gift. Check out MeUndies.com and find what's best for you in your match. Jen and I wear MeUndies every day. I actually liked my MeUndies so much that when she wanted some of her own, I ordered more MeUndies and threw away my non-MeUndies. I am a MeUndie exclusive person.
Wow.
It's true. It's true. They're too soft. They're too good. This isn't part, well, it's part of the ad, but it's not part of the ad. And I paid full price for it. You don't have to. This Valentine's Day, go to MeUndies.com/games and get your partner a gift that's for the both of you. Order by February 5th at 10 a.m. for free standard shipping so your gift arrives on time. You have a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Right now, MeUndies has an exclusive Valentine's Day offer just for you, the listener, for any first-time purchasers. When you purchase MeUndies matching pairs, you get 20% off and free shipping. Get 20% off matching undies for you and your significant other, and the 100% satisfaction guarantee at MeUndies.com/games. This will be the best Valentine's Day gift you will give. Start matching your bottom half to your better half. Go to MeUndies.com/games right now. Our other sponsor, Andrea?
Yes.
Pro Flowers and Sherry's Berries. Kevin, go get those Sherry's Berries. I said we'd have them for you on Thursday. We got them on Thursday.
I had one already this morning.
Pro Flowers and Sherry's Berries have teamed up to help you really impress your Valentine this year with their perfectly paired collection. Go ahead and think inside the box with this Valentine's Day. This really is a one-of-a-kind gift. Your flowers and dipped strawberries arrive together in a beautiful, specially designed box that keeps your flowers fresh and your berries cold, guaranteed. Right now.
Did you eat one already?
Kind of Funny Games Daily Show listeners.
Did you just put the whole thing in your mouth,
you animal? Well, how do you eat it?
You gotta, I mean, they're too large to do that, you monsters.
Oh, no, we got big mouths. We got big mouths.
Oh, my God.
Go ahead. Beautiful box. Keep it. Right now, my listener, you get 20% off any one of their perfectly paired combinations or any other gift over $29 with the promo code KF. Did these get sent to the office? You're damn right they did. Did we eat a whole bunch of them? Yeah. Did we save some for Andrea, though, because we said we'd do it on Thursday? We did. Everyone took home flowers for their significant others last night. We all had a great time. Pick your delivery date. It's guaranteed. Customer satisfaction is number one on your money back. There's only one way to get these at 20% off or anything else over $29. Go to proflowers.com today. Enter my code KF at checkout. Proflowers.com, code KF. Get some berries, get some flowers, have a good time.
I dropped some chocolate on the floor, sorry.
It's okay. Witta's dog's not here today. We'll get that cleaned up later. Ain't that right, Big Kev Dog? Yeah, he can't. He's got berries in his mouth now. He can't do. Yeah, I understand. I've been there, buddy. Where do I want to start? Oh, here we go. I think in with everything we've talked about with the Red Dead today, this is a good place to go. Adam, a.k.a. Bren Rambles, writes in and says, "Hey, Daily Show hosts. The other day, a friend and I were talking about how long is too long to wait for a game, like from first announcement to release. My friend thinks 2 years from announcement to release is too long, and it should be more like 6 months. To me, I find 2 years to be the sweet spot. Don't get me wrong, I would love a game's wait time to only be 6 months, but 2 years is perfectly fine. What do you folks think is the ideal wait? Is 2 years too long? Anyway, thank you for everything you do and always keep me entertained. Adam from Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. P.S. Can we finally get a meet and greet here in Eastern Canada? Probably not. How long do you like to wait for a video game?
I think that 6 months, excuse me, is just a little bit too short. A lot of times these developers have trouble keeping their project under wraps as it is with a 2 or 3 year PR cycle. And they really want to control the message as to how their game is launched. No game developer or publisher wants their game to be leaked because somebody's working on a presentation on a train and somebody takes a photo of like their computer screen, right? Like,
yeah.
They don't want the release to be that way. It's very anticlimactic for everybody and kind of goes against all the hard work everyone's doing.
Yeah.
So I think in that vein, keeping it secret for up until 6 months before it launches is challenging for a variety of reasons.
Sure.
So I think that that's probably a little bit unrealistic. Hats off to Bethesda for really pulling it off with Fallout. But if you remember,
there were so many leaks.
We had so many leaks for Fallout.
Bethesda's walking around MIT right now. Everybody's like, what?
Yeah. So I think that that's not reasonable. 2 years is nice. It's a good sweet spot.
2 years for me, I feel starts to get long in the tooth.
Really?
I like year and a half. I like cool here. I get a trailer and an announcement at E3, and then the next year at E3, there's a healthy part of the demo, and it's coming out in the fall.
Kind of like how Monster Hunter World did their their PR campaign.
Right,
it was announced and released relatively quickly.
Yeah, and I just saying how much time is so hard because it all slides so much. I'd feel it's really more the question is based around don't show the game until you're really confident with where it is. I feel like indies screw this up a lot. Where, hey, I have this great idea for a game. They show it, and everyone at that first PAX is like, holy shit, blow. Holy shit, Y2K. Oh, my God. And then you see it in the next PAX, the next PAX, the next PAX. And eventually, like, they've just lost so much of that draw, right? Supergiant was great about it with Pyre and with Transistor even, where it was like, here's this game. It's coming out real quick. We're super confident with where we're at and where it's going to be. And they got it out and kept that the tail they had of excitement for it. Whereas yeah, I think you can gamble that away so quickly because there's always an amazing game coming out.
You can, absolutely. It's a good point that a lot of indie games do suffer from that. I mean, I don't want to like pick out anybody and throw them under the bus. It's like, I've seen this game at PAX like 3 or 4 times, but there's, we all know what these titles are. I think, you know, it's tougher for indies because they run into a lot more challenges in the development
cycle. God damn it, Kevin.
Because they're usually pretty small teams,
I know.
And so it takes a lot longer.
And I'm not, and this, and for me calling out Y2K or below, it's not, I still am going to play those games. I'm still very excited for those games. Yeah. I just hate the fact that I know when they first popped, we were all like, whoa, this is rad. And now I feel like I still think that way, but I don't know if everybody else does.
Yeah. I don't like, I don't mind. Like, is it a bummer? Sure, but there's just so much media to consume these days. Sure. There's enough to keep you satisfied. You just got to look for new and exciting stuff.
Sure.
Read more books.
No, just play more games. Thank you, Kevin. As Kevin and the president once said, reading is for losers.
Excuse me.
Duarte Rosa writes in and says, what's good, guys? So, Night in the Woods comes out on Switch today, and after playing it for about an hour at a friend's house, I did not get at all what everyone was raving about. Is this one of those it gets better after X hours kind of games? Duarte Rosa.
Never played it.
I started it on PlayStation, totally dug it, and then just fell off because something else came out and this, that, and the other. I think you just have to be in the mindset for that. Night in the Woods is a game that everybody loves because the story and the writing's really good. If you're not in it for this coming-of-age story of a cat down on its luck moving back in with its parents, but it's like a human, then it's not going to be for you. You're not going to turn the corner and suddenly it's an amazing shmup or something like that. Thank you. You like that one, Kevin? Yeah. All right, good, good, good. Andrea?
Mm-hmm.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Pedro writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, I have a Paragon question for Andrea. Is it right to ask for the full refund? If you enjoyed the game for hundreds of hours or even thousands of hours, is it right to ask for a full refund? In my opinion, it is not. It is unfair to the developers that worked on the game for so many years, but maybe I'm missing something. What do you think? Because we talked about this the other day, right? On Tuesday, we were back together.
Yes. So, Pedro, know that the developers are not losing any money from you getting a refund. Epic Games has lots and lots and lots of money. They are perfectly capable of issuing refunds. They would not have offered refunds for every person if they could not afford it. 100% guaranteed that's true. So I don't think that you should feel bad, but if you want to not request a refund because you enjoyed your time with the game, that's okay too. I went through the refund process. It is not simple. You have to have like the dates of your purchase. You have to attach images of your receipts. You have to like fill out this whole form. So that just enough of a hurdle that there's probably going to be thousands of players who probably intended to get a refund that are going to be like, it's not worth the time.
Well, I think that's the point of it, right? To what you're saying is true, and what this is an olive branch to the hardcore player, in this case, Paragon, hey, we know you loved this. We're sorry we're stopping it. It's not fair because you're invested, so we will give the money back. And it's one of those, so many people probably spent money on this and are never going to invest in this or never pay attention to this, never care about it. But for the audience that, man, I'm so bummed they're taking this away, it's Epic's one way to be like, hey, let's meet in the middle on this. We know this sucks. We want to keep you somebody who thinks of Epic in a positive light and not have this experience of the plug being pulled, ruining it for you.
Absolutely. It's a gesture of goodwill. And one of the things that is one of the first questions they ask you in this form, if you're requesting your refund, is do you want your refund in the form of Fortnite V-Bucks.
Yeah, which is a great way to keep you invested in the Epic system.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So they're saying like, hey, like if you want, we can just roll all that into the currency of another game and get you in there instead. And I think that that's a good option for people who are interested in playing, you know, Save the World or Battle Royale as well. I don't think that it's wrong, to answer your question, because they offered it. I think if they hadn't offered it and then you demanded it, this would be a different conversation.
Sure.
I feel like I got my money's worth, but we were talking before the show about how I have probably $300 of transactions in Paragon, but I could only find receipts for like $90 worth of it.
Yeah.
So if I only get 90 back instead of 300, that's fine with me. If I get nothing back, that's fine with me too. Like, I'm not going to sweat it because I had a lot of fun playing Paragon.
Big old JBR writes in kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, Greg and Andrea, how does the PlayStation Plus process work? I imagine Sony goes to the developer of the game and makes a deal with them for the game on PlayStation Plus. Here's what I would like to know. Is the amount of money given to the developers for having their game free for a month enough to fund a good portion of their next game? Greetings from Florida, your friend JBR. We've talked about this here and there.
Mm-hmm.
It's we've never had, I don't want to say never. I forget if anybody's ever gone super on record about all this different stuff. The way we understand it is PlayStation approaches a developer or publisher, depending on what's happening, says, we want to do PlayStation Plus. We're going to give you this amount of money for the game. And then they decide if that's good or bad, or if that's what they want to do, or if the ones they not want to do.
Yeah, the deals, from my understanding, are all structured on a case-by-case basis. And a thing that's important to remember is the vast majority of these PlayStation Plus games are games that were previously released. Mm-hmm. So if they hadn't done a deal with PlayStation, nobody would maybe be searching out for their game, right? They would just be like, it would be sitting there on the PlayStation Store, not getting any clicks. But because it's being featured after launch, they're probably able to do that feature and put that game out there for free at a highly reduced cost to both, you know, the developer and to PlayStation, because it's, you know, they want to put it up, you know, prop it up. And, you know, those features can help drive DLC sales. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen Ubisoft in particular, to call it one example, doing a lot of these free weekends where you can get in and then you can buy the game at a discount, because they are doing these games as services. So they know, like, we'll get you in the game for free, and then once you're in, you'll like it so much that you'll want to keep coming back and hopefully buy, you know, cosmetic items and things like that. I've been getting back into Rainbow Six and jumping into the store and looking at all of the skins and things that are available for, like, not only characters but guns and things. Like, I was like, wow, there's a really robust, like, cosmetic offering there. So
yeah, you nail it. I think that's the other side of the coin with this, where, cool, you have the numbers, you see the data, you've seen, you know, your release up here usually, and then steady decline in sales. And so if PlayStation or Xbox comes to you and like, hey, let's do this, it is a question of, well, if current trends continued, would we make as much money as they're offering us? And then also, yeah, what if we have DLC out and we want people to go buy that? It's a great way to get you back in the conversation, which so many games struggle with. The flip side, of course, is something like Rocket League, where it is a day and date. You know, we're out at the gate, and I think that for Psyonix, I forget if they talk about it in Danny's documentary, but like, that must have been a huge conversation for them of, well, we don't know how well this game would sell without PlayStation behind it. So let's do this. We do it. And then suddenly it is this game that everybody got in and realized was amazing. And then they're great with their microtransactions of cosmetic items and then putting it on every other platform. And you see how well, I mean, they're definitely the poster child for PlayStation Plus success.
They are the exception, not the rule.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the hope, though, is that you get a game out that way, and word of mouth and all these different ways it spreads and it becomes something.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, is it, you know, your question, JBR, is enough to fund their game or a good portion of the next game? Who knows? That's on that developer. That's on that size of the team. I would doubt it usually. But
it also depends, like, if your game is like a small standalone experience, or if you have like multiple items of post-launch content. You know, it really depends.
Final question. Let's keep it about business and money, but our business and money. Alex writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, Greg and Andrea, I have a quick question in regards to supporting you guys through Patreon and your respective merch stores. And I was wondering which, if any, were more beneficial to you guys as creators. Does a $1 a month Patreon donation benefit you guys more than, say, buying a t-shirt from Rooster Teeth or Teespring? If I want to give you guys the best bang for the buck, what ways would you recommend? Or is it all pretty beneficial one way or another? Thanks and keep up the great work, Alex.
Well, supporting Kind of Funny, or if you want to support What's Good Games, Patreon is definitely the best way to directly support us, because the margin for how much Patreon takes as a platform is pretty low for the service that they provide us as creators. Mm-hmm. I love offering merch through partners like Teespring for us, because it gives us an opportunity to kind of have that unique connection with people who listen to our show. So when we're out at places like PAX or PSX, you know, we can all kind of like, you know, wear our shirts together. And I'm sure it's the same for you guys. Yeah. It's kind of funny, but like the margin there is, we make so much less money on merch because the cost is so much higher. I mean, they've got the raw materials, they've got the printing and the shipping and like the whole back end process of them taking your money and processing it. Sure. Like, so because of that, we make a very small percentage compared to people donating directly or pledging directly on Patreon.
Yeah, I think that's all true for us as well. What I've always said, of course, is that I wouldn't worry about it. It's whatever benefits you the most. You know what I mean? If you get the value out of the $1 pledge on Patreon, knowing you're helping us out and then getting access to watch a show live or watch shows early as we put them up there, that's great. If you'd much rather just have the t-shirt for some reason, or not some reason, but you want the t-shirt, you want the cup or whatever, do that. If you want to support on Twitch, remember Amazon Prime, you got free Twitch Prime. You can do that. You should do that for us. Even if you don't watch us on Twitch, no big deal. It's whatever you guys want though. Don't worry about it. But I mean, even just watching a video is enough support, but don't worry about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Enjoy your life and your money. Please give us a lot of it, but enjoy it. Time to squad up. This is where one of you writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. You give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in the video game world. Sometimes they're weird. This one's weird. Edward writes in and says he needs a workout buddy in the Denver area. Edward says, I know this is a little unusual, but I would love to find a Kind of Funny best friend who wants to work out and get fit in the Denver/Boulder area. Any fitness level is great. Just someone to hang out with while getting fit. Edward left no contact information. So I would tell Edward to go to the Kind of Funny subreddit. Go there. They just crossed over 12,000 people on the subreddit subscribing. Go over there and post there, and that'll be helpful. Just like I'm going to tell Taylor. Taylor writes in and says, is there a place where we can see all the squad ups so we can friend or look for those people who are playing similar games? Now, sorry, that's my bus. Taylor, yesterday we were talking about this, right, Kevin? That it's in the description. Yep. Kevin's been putting in the description who's squatting up. And I do believe over on the Reddit as well, they do it there. I can't speak to the Facebook group or the forums because I check in on the Reddit way more. But who knows? If you want to do that, go to the Reddit and start doing that. Or start a Google Doc and share it with everybody. Andrea, When people watch the show live, we ask them to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. What do we screw up today?
Today, Capitalist Pig says, the Monster Hunter World timed quest. The limited time quest on Monster Hunter World that gives you access to some of the Horizon Zero Dawn gear ends on February 8th, February 9th, Japan time, not February 6th, like Greg said.
Thank you very much. We got time. We're going to get it, Kev. We're going to get it. I want the Watcher Cat. Here's what we need to do, Kev.
I'm listening.
Fuck, no, that doesn't work either. Just talk to me. I was going to say, we need to when I come back, we both need to just act sick for the week and just play Monster Hunter the whole time. But I'm going to Dallas on Tuesday. And I'm back on Wednesday. So what's Monday after? Oh, we got that fucking stupid Marvel show we do. Fuck. Fuck.
You think about it. I'm going to continue on. Titan Matrix says, you are associating a populous city, Shanghai, with a negative connotation of being kidnapped. Maybe not say it. Definitely not a positive saying. We know you have a better word. We know you have better word options that won't require you to make that connection. It's not iconic, but like, just another perspective.
Thank you.
Shanghai Knights, even better.
That's not
true.
Kevin, shut up.
Capitalist Pig again. Tuesday release dates. According to Console Wars, Sega, Nintendo, and the Battle That Defined a Generation by Blake Harris, games would launch all over the place until Sonic 2 had a marketing campaign that built up the game's release as Sonic Tuesday. It was successful enough to set an industry standard.
Nice. Good job, Blake Harris. We love that book. God damn, these shares bear good.
Ignacio Rojas counters, if Stockholm Syndrome isn't racist, then being Shanghai'd isn't.
Good job, Ignacio. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a fair point. Fair point.
Nailed it, dude. Gained respect for him right now.
Okay, that's nothing there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's nothing.
this is just more about Tuesday and Friday release dates. Okay. So far, it just looks like Capitalist Pig so far had actually had like a definitive. But he's always on top of it.
We know it. We know. We should just, again, figure out a way for him to do it. It does seem like a lot of work. I understand, Kev. But if you just got us a speakerphone, right? He could just call in via speakerphone.
Lucid Dre 4M says Mario definitely jumps in Super Mario Run. Yes, obviously. You know that that wasn't the point I was making. Oh my gosh. Got me.
Burn.
Vin Zombie says Despicable Me took $69 million to make and made $564.1 million.
Steve Carell.
The Minions movie took $74 million to produce and made $1.1
billion. Jesus Christ.
Sing is just okay.
Thank you. Thank you for the update on Sing. What is it? I've never even heard of it.
It's a bunch of animals singing.
So it's every animated film.
Kebabs says a potentially missed story. Bandai Namco published a press release announcing that Dragon Ball FighterZ has shipped 2 million copies worldwide in its first week, including digital sales, making it the fastest selling Dragon Ball game in the franchise history.
Go get him, Dragon Ball Z.
FighterZ. Oh my god, this next one is so petty, I can't even.
Okay.
Skipping you because you're being petty.
How petty is it?
I'll show you later.
Was it about me or you?
It's about me.
Is it sport-related?
No.
Oh, fuck.
Kebab says the PlayStation Plus deal was mentioned in the NoClip documentary.
Thank you.
But Dunham was coy as to how much Psyonix received or how it even worked. Well, that makes sense. They probably can't disclose the details of their deal.
Jeremy Dunham is.
And that's it.
Oh, fuck. I missed my thing I usually put out.
Which is what?
Thanking Dunham for hiring me at IGN. Because I think it was like January 30th or 31st.
It's not too late. It's February 1st. Well, you can still do it, Greg.
I have to do it now.
You can say this week. Use it as like a weekly anniversary.
That's good.
That's pretty good, I guess. Yeah, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, comes to you each and every week down a variety of platforms. Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames, where I'll stick around right now and read subs and tips after this. If you have Amazon Prime, you have Twitch Prime. We'd love if you gave your 30-day subscription to us. You have to renew it every 30 days. I know it's annoying. I know if you don't listen to, if you're listening to the show in your car right now, your kids asleep in the backseat, like, I don't care about Twitch. But again, Amazon Prime, most of you have. You have this, just give it away to somebody. Give it to us. Also, you can go to patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. You can watch the show on youtube.com/KindaFunnyGames. You can listen on podcast services around the globe. Tomorrow's host will be Tim, and he'll have a lot to answer for why he's not here all the time, ready to be at my beck and call about Nintendo stuff. But until then, no. It's been our pleasure to serve you.